as we partake of the Lord's table tonight. But I think three important things that we look in, and I don't even feel like I had to dig and mind them out. I think they're right there for us to see, but certainly some things that would be beneficial tonight as the representation of the broken body is passed out. I think something for you to look at and see and think through as the as the juice is passed around. Certainly some things that you can think through as the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Let's go ahead and read the passage. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read through verses 23 to 27. Verses 23 to 27, and excuse me, I don't know why I have in my notes through 27. Actually, I think that we will do through, I guess we'll go through verse 27. Let's go ahead and follow along with me as I read. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And I trust that God will bless the reading of his word. We're not going to really be looking at verse 27 so much, that end part of the penalty for partaking when you're not prepared for it. But I want you to focus on what Jesus has given to us. Three things before we partake tonight that I want you to see. I want you to see number one there in that first verse. It says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. You remember that time? Of course, it wasn't long ago that we went through John chapter 13 to 17. And you remember that time that Jesus had gotten with his disciples and he was there expounding upon all these things. And of course, this memory that Paul wasn't there when they went through it, but of course he is able to record it, what happened there, and it was the same night in which he was betrayed. That same night in which he was expounding all these things to the disciples, the same night in which Judas was found out that he was the one, and the same night in which he left, and Jesus said, "Go, what thou doest, go do quickly." The very same night is the night that we're talking about here. Jesus giving everything of himself. This is the night in which we are talking about. The same night in which he was betrayed. What are the last two words of verse 23? Go ahead. He took bread. He took bread. What does it mean that he took bread? Pastor, come on. It's not anything more than he grabbed the bread that was there for this table. And I read specifically a commentator this week as I was studying for this that simply said that. In fact, he's a commentator that I use quite often. I really like what he said, but I will tell you that I disagree what he says. He says, don't read into it at all. What he said, that he took bread, is all that it means. He took bread. I disagree with that. There's more meaning to that than he took bread. What does it mean that he took bread? Let's stop and think what's the bread the symbol of? His body, right? Christ's body. Now, we don't believe in transubstantiation. You know what that means? What's transubstantiation? Frank, what is it? Okay, so what Frank is saying, and he's not saying this, he doesn't believe it anymore, okay? But what some people believe in transubstantiation is that this bread, which is broken here in the center, what is it too? Maybe it's the outer two, I forget which one it is. But the bread that is passed out, the broken bread, they would say that this literally becomes his flesh. Can you imagine? And we're partaking of his flesh. No, it's not true. You can search it out. That's 100% representation. It's a cracker that represents his flesh. And that juice that's there does not become blood. It stays simply juice. It's a representation of what has taken place. Transubstantiation. My mind just went blank. Consubstantiation. What is that? Anybody know? That's not as much taught and preached. It just means that it's with. The word con is with. It's there. His presence is there, it's not literally him. Doesn't turn into it, but he comes right with it, and so we're taking in Jesus. We're not taking in Jesus. What is the key word to this passage? Remember. It is just simply a tool that God gives us to help remember. Okay? All right, so we have this flesh, the bread is a symbol of his body. His body is not there, his blood is not there. I hope you understand that, and that's the simple truth of the scriptures. His blood and body are not there. This is just a symbol. Okay, so the bread is a symbol of his body. It says that Jesus took bread. When he took bread, what does the word took mean? Now, think through it. To take something, let's say that this is right here a loaf of bread. If I take it, then it could mean very simply is that I reach out and take it. Okay, if that's all it said, well, then I could maybe interpret it just simply as that. But folks, that's not all that it says. It says that he took bread. So he took this. He didn't just literally take the bread, and he didn't just like pick up his body and present it to them at that point in time, but it says that he took it. Now, when you look at the word took, it's to willingly pick up. To willingly pick up. And in this case, to willingly pick up what was his. He took bread. Now, literally, he did that night. He didn't pick up his body and hand it over to them and say, "Here I am." We understand that. And I don't think that any of us would say that he would do that. But there is some definite reality what Jesus is saying. Symbolically representative of what was about to take place. And it says, "And he took bread." Folks, I want to tell you, when we look at that, we see that he was very willing to pick up himself and present it to us. He took it and he said, "Here it is." He was doing this before. It was a day before he would literally pick it up and put it on the cross. I've told you this before. Who was it that took Jesus' life? Who was it? Was it the Roman soldiers? Well, certainly they were the ones that put him up there. Was it, under the rule of the Romans? Was it the Jews? Oh, it was the Jews that did it. And yet, again, we have some good, well-meaning songs that say that we were the ones that nailed him to the cross. And if you look into it, in a way, we did, because it was for our sins. But I'll tell you, we didn't nail him to the cross. And although the Romans literally did the nailing to the cross, it wasn't the Romans that took him, that took his life. Do you understand what I mean? What does it mean when somebody say, "And they," when this person took this other person's life? What are we saying? That this person, it wasn't willful of this person, right? This individual took it. He killed him. He murdered him. This individual was not giving up their life. They were not wanting it to be. It was not their will. It was taken from them. But there's a difference here. Jesus' life was not taken from him. It was handed over willingly. It was given. Jesus took bread. Jesus took his flesh. He took his body for us. I want you to look at a couple other passages of Scripture. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 15. This is the passage before Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking ahead of time. And he is speaking well in advance of what he is going to do many chapters later. Again, I understand chapters don't represent necessarily days or weeks or months or years, but it is time before he would do this. And everybody didn't quite understand what was going on when he said it. But in John chapter 10 and verse 15, notice the words that Jesus uses. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice the words, I lay down my life. That means he willingly hands it over. He willingly takes it and he gives it. I'm so thankful for the phrase that's in verse 23 that says that the Lord Jesus, the same night that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he was about ready to offer it. Here it is. And he's going to say, this is my body, which is broken for you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Understand the willing sacrifice. The willing sacrifice. He willingly gave it over. It wasn't a matter. You know, we could get mad at the Romans tonight. We could get mad at the Jews. We could get mad at ourselves. You were the one, Sean, you were the one that killed Jesus. No, I didn't and they didn't. He gave it over. Why is that so significant for us? You know what? It doesn't mean so much that if somebody else took his life. I want you to think about this. Say that somebody else takes another person's life and then that person claims to have died for you. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Did you follow what I'm saying? Let's say we have three people here. Let's say I'm the beneficiary. Let's say we have a person here that is claiming to lay down their life for me or to give their life as a sacrifice for me. And then you have a third person over here that they are the ones that kill or murder this person. If this individual murders this person and then this person claims to have done it as a sacrifice for me, that doesn't even make sense. No, they were murdered. They were killed. No, you see, there was no third person here. It was all of Jesus saying, listen, I love you and I'm giving my life for you. He laid down his life for you. That's a blessing. It's all for you. He willingly paid the sacrifice. So number one, we see a willing sacrifice. He took bread. Again, a symbol of his body. He picked it up literally and laid it down for us. I want you to see the second thing that he did. He says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. That same commentator says, don't take it any further than what it says. Now, I understand that night he did not pick up his body and give it. I understand that night he didn't break his body. And I understand also that on the cross there was not a bone in Jesus' body that was broken in fulfillment of prophecy and scripture. But I'll tell you, when Jesus broke bread that night, he was symbolizing something would take place. It was more than just him grabbing that bread and breaking it. And that's all it was. No, my friend, it was more than that. Why is it important that he broke that bread? It says he broke it. To break is a symbol of his suffering on the cross, I believe with all of my heart. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. I think we let Scripture prove it. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, you know this passage. So known to all of us as Jesus and his what he would do on the cross would be prophesied. And so given in detail here, and I love the detail because this detail shares the truth. This detail shares the truth. What was Jesus talking about? Now, if this commentator is purely talking about what happened that night, I agree with him. You know what? He took the bread and he broke it. That's all it meant right then, but it means more. He meant it more for those disciples than he means it more for us. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded. Who's he talking about here? Who's Isaiah speaking of? Jesus Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. There's that willing sacrifice that we just read about. He was bruised for our iniquities. Another word for sin. For our sin, he was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isn't that a blessed verse? Through the beating on the cross, through the stripes, through the bruising, we are healed. We are healed. We are made whole. Notice the words that are used here. He was wounded. What does the word wounded mean? He was defiled. He was violated. This should never have been happening to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe. Remember, he willingly gave himself. He was wounded. He was defiled and violated. But notice the next word. He was bruised. You know what that word bruised means? To be crushed, broken, shattered. My friends, I'll tell you that anybody that would argue that Jesus wasn't broken on the cross, no, his bones were not. But Jesus was broken on the cross. In a certain sense, he was broken. And he was broken for you. He was broken. And he even says later on in verse 24, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Friends, I'll tell you, that's what he's talking about. He's telling them what's going to take place. He is symbolizing what he did on the cross. You see, he had a willing sacrifice. But let me submit to you, second of all, it was more than a willing sacrifice. It was a broken sacrifice. It was a suffering sacrifice. He had to lay something down, and he literally paid a price. He was beaten. He didn't just put a quick robe of armor about him so that he couldn't feel any of it. No, he took it. He lifted up his body, and he bore it. He was broken for you. So we see, first of all, the willing sacrifice. He surrendered himself. We see the broken sacrifice. He suffered for us. Thirdly, I want to see the last thing that it says here in this passage. After the same manner also. Excuse me, we go back. Let's look at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, here's the third thing, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What does it mean that he says, take, eat? Okay, in symbolism, first of all, what did he do? He took something. He willingly put it out. Second of all, he was willing to be broken. He was broken. He suffered. What does it mean then he talked? And who is Jesus talking to here? Of course, Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians. But if you go back to the Gospels and we read, you know, we went through John. Remember in John, and he had the Passover and then he instituted the Lord's Supper. What did he mean when he passed along that stuff and he said, take, eat? What was he doing? The word take means an offer for all. An offer for all. Here, take of me. Now again, literally it wasn't Jesus' body for to eat. But literally, it was, here, my broken body for you. And what he does, thirdly, is offer it to everybody. He offers it. It's a call to everyone. Listen, for whosoever will come and take, please come. Take of my body. For God so loved who? The world. He didn't say in there, for God so loved the elect. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ, those people, whosoever, all the world, would have everlasting life. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall be saved. Folks, I tell you, it was an offering to anyone who would take. To anyone who would take. Giving himself. Breaking himself. Offering himself for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. After a prayer time, I was talking with Frank as we walked back. And he said, I don't understand how he could give me his righteousness. And you know what I said? I don't understand either. But folks, we can understand an amazing truth. He took willingly himself. He willingly broke himself. Honestly, it really wasn't the Roman soldiers, although they were the human instruments, but it was him. And it was given as an offering to everybody that's here and everybody in the face of the earth. Listen, whosoever would partake of me could have everlasting life. He didn't limit it to a few righteous individuals that just followed the law. He didn't limit it to an elect group of people that would just be willing to obey him and to give themselves and call Jesus Lord. He didn't limit it to a group of people that had the money to pay, you know, their money to the church that they could earn it. He didn't do it. He gave it to anybody. Whoever wants to come and take of this, please come. I'll tell you what, wrapped up in this little passage that we read every single week or every single month are some gems that if you would take the time this week to just think through, would mean a lot to you. Number one, a willing sacrifice. He took himself. He took of himself. He willingly picked himself up and said, take of me, an offering to all. Take of my broken body, an offering to every one of us. Just a moment, we're going to partake of these things. And of course, that was mostly looking at the broken body. But then the blood and giving us his righteousness. He didn't have to do this. He wasn't expected to do it. He willingly did it. He did it for you because he loves you so much, because he cares for you. He cares about you. He cares about you. He loves you. And so he did that for you. And all he asks of you tonight is remember. Would you remember what he's done? Remember. You know, and as the music plays here, just a moment, the men will come and will pass about the representation of the broken flesh. And as it's done, I want you to think, you know what? If you have a hard time trying to think through the, you know, oh, you know, what can I do to... Remember, it's not about an experience and about an emotion. I used to get caught up in that. The Lord said, you know, I used to get, you know, like, oh no, am I taken of this unworthily because I'm having a hard time just really, should I be crying? Should I be so thankful? That's not what God required. He just said, I want you to remember. He wants you to be, put your mind on that. Think about it. Think about that willing sacrifice. Think about that broken sacrifice. Think about that offered sacrifice for you. That would be part of practicing his presence, even right here tonight. Practice his presence. Don't let the moment pass, you know, thinking about this week. You know what? Practice his presence. Think about what Jesus has done for you, past, present, and future. What does this do, by the way, for the future? We read it. It shows the Lord's death until he comes. It's a testimony to the world. Wish more people would come in and see it. I really do. Good opportunity. You know somebody that's not saved, invite them to a Lord's Supper service. It would mean something. I know it means something because the Bible says so. It'd be a testimony. A testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I hope that tonight you'll take great joy in what Jesus has done for you as we pass about the elements. I'm going to have the men come who are going to serve the Lord's table tonight. You can come, make your way up to the front here, and you can be seated. Let me just share a few things with you, what we believe here at Faith Bible Church, about who can partake. Well, what does it mean? Are we going to be watching to see who's going to partake of the Lord's table? Well, no. This is between you and the Lord. We don't have any police here that are going to watch and say, you know, you can't take it. You're not a member here. You're not this. You're not that. You're not required to be a member. You're not. There's really nothing required. You men can have a seat. In a way there is, but in a way there's not. We're remembering what? What Jesus Christ has done for us. Personally. What he did for me. My friend, if you're here tonight and you have trusted in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, and that was good enough for you, and you have trusted in that, you are trusting in that, then the Lord's table, these elements are for you to remember that very thing. And it would be appropriate for you to partake. If you're sitting here tonight, you know, and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, you're relying upon your works or other things, or you don't know if you're going to go to heaven when you die, you know what? No one's going to tell you not to partake. And if you partake of this, it will be nothing more than eating a little tiny piece of cracker, and will be nothing more than taking a little swig of juice. And that will be about it. But there's really nothing for you to remember. It would be very worthless, if I could say. So who's it for? Well, in a sense, it's for those people who have trusted in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. They're saved. Again, you don't have to be a member here. You don't have to have done all these good things. You don't have to do this. Are you saved? But I would say, second of all, it's not so much a requirement that you have to have this done, but there's a second element that's listed in the rest of the chapter that he talks about a group of people that weren't there for that fellowship. They weren't there for even each other to remember the Lord. They were there for themselves. And they were having a heyday, you know, just consuming things upon themselves. And the admonition to these people is to say, what are you here for? And if you're doing this just to feel better about yourself, you're doing this to promote yourself, you're doing this as just something that it's not a part of remembering, then you might want to check yourself because you're doing it in the wrong spirit. And he warned those people that had this sin, this problem in their lives, he warned them. He said, you ought not do that because there's some people that are sick and there's some people that die because of it. Now, brothers and sisters, whether you want to believe that or not, it's true. And I would say that it's a very important thing that you make sure that you examine your heart. You just say, Lord, is there anything that would hinder the fellowship tonight that is supposed to be here in this church as we together as a group remember what Jesus has done for us? Your sin goes against everything that we're thinking through right now. And yet Jesus died for that. But I'll tell you, the best thing that you could do is get it right now. Confess your sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's somebody that you need to ask forgiveness for, listen, I'm sorry, I've been wrong. I said this, I've done that. Get it taken care of. Be ready to partake. I trust that tonight, as the elements are passed, that it will be a blessing to you as you remember what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. I'm going to give you just a moment before the music plays, and as I pray even here to the Lord for a few moments. I'm going to give you a moment to just get right with the Lord and just to prepare your heart. And then when I say, these men will come and they'll pass out the representation of the body first, symbolizing his body. And then after that's done, then we'll go through for the representation of his blood. But just before the music plays, just take a moment to pray and get things right. And then when that time is, then we'll partake.